Maybe you're headed out to walk the dog or let the dog out. We're exploring our deep connection with dogs and why it's so beneficial in these times, this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, it's our year-end membership drive, which is officially underway. I'm here with Gene Kallenbach. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Kate. Great to be here.
It is the first day of our year-end member drive, and it's Giving Tuesday. How appropriate, a global celebration of generosity. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, and that means your gift now will ensure the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2021. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And let's get the day off to a great start. This hour, we've got a goal of 10 gifts before 7 o'clock rolls around. Now, these hourly goals are important because they help us stay on track financially so that we can keep the discussion going strong here on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, you enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial free, and that means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, business sponsors, of course, really important. And there's another source that's very important as well.
Yeah, that's right. The largest piece of the funding for WPR program comes from, wait for it, wait for it, people just like you. It's your support that makes all the difference here. In fact, it's the backbone of how things work here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So when you give, you're the one who keeps quality, independent news, talk, and information right here on the air. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we hear from a whole lot of first-time donors who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college, or people who turned 30 and realized, you know what, I'm growing up now. It's time to give to WPR.
Or in my case, 40, 45.
right, nice.
It took me a while to get there. But, you know, giving money to something you believe in is important, a service you rely on. It's a great way to commemorate that new phase in your life, no matter what age you enter it. In fact, we encourage that kind of behavior. Many first-time donors, by the way, give about $10 or $20 a month. But remember, you get to choose the amount that's right for you. Then go to WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
We have an opportunity to come together and support the organizations we care about. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day for people around the world to support the nonprofits that make a difference in our communities. Your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio powers the trustworthy news and community connections that you and so many others rely on. Join the movement today with your gift now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Gene Kallenbach. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And remember, giving to WPR is easy to do. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. Show your support at WPR.org on this Giving Tuesday, 888-202-2552, and give as generously as you can.
Yeah, please do. We've got about 15 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 10 people, 10 of you, to join in and help support the good work of Wisconsin Public Radio. And I've just been informed, this is breaking news, Kate, we've got 3 gifts left. So there's been a lot of action while we've been talking. So that's terrific news. We're off to a great start. So let's keep it going. Remember, you make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And choose the Reach Out and Read thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and help Wisconsin kids get a strong start in literacy.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It'll provide reliable support for the programs that you love.
Programs you love, and we love you with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. We're exploring our deep human bond with dogs. It's said that bonding with your dog improves your health and well-being, lowering heart rate and blood pressure. What is your relationship like with your dog amid the pandemic? Did you adopt a quarantine puppy? How is it going? We're at 800-642-1234. Patricia McConnell is a zoologist and certified applied animal behaviorist. She's written more than a dozen books on canine and feline behavior and dog training. Patricia, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always fun to be here.
Well, what do you make of this? As shelters say, they are adopting out a record number of dogs and cats these days.
Oh, it makes so much sense. You know, dogs are the perfect oxytocin elicitor. You know, that's the feel-good hormone that makes us feel secure and safe. And they call it the love hormone. You know, it's that warm, fuzzy feeling you get when you're petting a puppy or hugging your best friend. So, I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world. I'm not at all surprised. I think it's a great thing.
You know, the studies say that having a dog improves our health. So what should new dog owners hear during the pandemic who've never had a dog before? How do you create a strong bond knowing that maybe when we get back to normal times, we won't be spending all this time at home?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's a lot to unpack there. So the bond, you know, the bond is about trust. And a lot of trust is about communication, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the best things people can do, especially if they're new to dogs, but even if you're not, is learn more about how dogs communicate. What I've learned through my practice, through all the many years, is that no matter how much you love dogs, doesn't necessarily mean you're good at reading subtle visual signals. And that's the primary way they're communicating. So the more you can learn about what it means when a dog's tail is wagging, which doesn't always mean it's happy, and what it means if it turns its head away or turns its eyes to the side, the more you can do that, the clearer your communication, the more your dog will trust you and the stronger your bond. But the other issue that you mentioned is really important, Kate, about what happens when life gets back to normal, whatever that is, right?
Yeah.
One of the really important things for owners to be aware of is that if they're working at home and somebody's home all the time, if that's going to change, you need to be sure your dog is comfortable being home alone. Dogs are pack animals, they're family animals, and so it's really important to avoid what's called separation anxiety, which is basically, it's an anxiety attack. Dogs can panic and hurt themselves, hurt your house, jump out the window. So it's very important to get your dog used to you being out of the house. You just give him a stuffed Kong or something wonderful to keep his attention and keep him happy while you go to the mailbox or something. So that's something important to think about.
Yeah, I mean, how should we deal with crating the dog as well? Because oftentimes when either at night during the sleeping hours or when we leave the house, we put the dog in a crate.
I love crates. I think they can be overused, you know.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you can get your dog out of a crate at night, for example, that would be great. But the way you do it, Kate, is to go really slowly at first. So you throw some food into a crate and invite your dog in. And if they're a little hesitant, you just put the food right at the entrance to the crate. And then gradually, step by step, very patiently, which is the hard part for us mortal humans, me too, is you toss the food farther and farther back, let them eat it, shut the door, and then open it right up again. And then gradually and slowly get them used to being in there. Ask them to be in there for longer periods when they're really sleepy. I am a huge supporter of Kongs. I wish I had stock in the company. I do know the company. Actually, I took a tour of their manufacturing plant by their owner, who is the dearest, sweetest man. But we have stuffed Kongs in the freezer all the time, and we'll give them to the dogs as a treat, as a way to keep them occupied. So that's a way to keep your dog occupied and happy in a crate. What you don't want to do is just shove them in there, close the door, and then let them out when they're barking.
Yeah, right. You know, you mentioned these subtle visual signals. What do we lose when we're trying to understand what the dog needs?
Oh, I love that question. We lose so much, Kate. Dogs will tell us when they're frightened. Dogs will tell us when they're uncomfortable. One of the biggest serious health-related problems is people not reading signals that a dog is saying, I am incredibly uncomfortable, and then there's a bite. I was just reading a research report by somebody who looked at videos of dog bites and found that in almost all cases, the dog was signaling, I am extremely uncomfortable. I am extremely uncomfortable. And, you know, they don't have a lot of, what are they going to do, right? They don't have a lot of power. They're trapped in a corner and a five-year-old kid is scaring them. You know, they can't call a lawyer.
We need to pause right there, Patricia McConnell, animal behaviorist, and we'll talk more with her ahead here on the Ideas Network. Living with a loving dog is a privilege. We're learning about the benefits of building a deep bond with a canine companion on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, let's check in on our year-end membership campaign that is officially underway. I'm here with Jean Purcell. It is the year-end member drive on the Ideas Network. You count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. It is Giving Tuesday, and your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2021 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, and here's where we are in terms of making our goal before 7 o'clock. We've got about 40 minutes left in the hour, so that's one piece of data we need to know about. And so far as I know, the information we were given last break, by the way, was incorrect, as it turns out. So we've still got 10 calls, 10 more people to join in during the next 40 minutes to make that goal. Yeah,
right.
We're going to do it, though.
Yep.
I'm very optimistic. These hourly goals are set up, by the way, to make sure we've got the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now, WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You share every weekday morning with The Morning Show, and your morning wouldn't be the same without interesting guests talking about a wide variety of topics. The Ideas Network is here when your alarm clock wakes you up to it, or while you share breakfast in the kitchen with us, or drive to work with us. We're here for you. Your support makes these morning conversations that we value possible. Give now on this Giving Tuesday at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there's any number of ways to make that support. Our monthly giving program, by the way, is becoming more and more popular with our listeners. In fact, right now, as I speak, we've got more than 25,000 sustaining members. Wow is right. Who make ongoing monthly gifts. That number is growing every day by day.
Well, give it a try. We think you'll like it. It is so simple, slick, easy. Set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or your credit card. That donation will continue automatically every month. It's easy to get started with a gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Dr. Dipesh Nafsaria. I'm an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin, and I'm founding medical director of Reach Out and Read Wisconsin. What we do through Reach Out and Read is use primary care checkups and hand the book directly to the child. It tells me more than my stethoscope does. Does a child hold that book out to their parent in that read-to-me gesture? That tells me volumes about the child's development. Building of skills in adults is really what's at the heart of this program.
Do two good things at once when you support WPR programs and ask for the Reach Out and Read Books for Kids thank you gift. Give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Yes, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
That's right. There are so many important and interesting issues covered on the Ideas Network every single day. And we know that you rely on these discussions, and that's why it's your gift during our year-end member drive that's so important.
So help us put a strong finish on 2020 so we can continue to discuss the issues in the months to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember, when 10 more people support WPR programs in about the next 37 minutes or so, we are going to meet our goal and we'll do it with your help. Remember, WPR is listener-powered, and that's why it's your gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. That's so important.
And choose the Reach Out and Read thank you gift. It is amazing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make a difference for WPR and provide books to children in your community during their doctor visits.
And by the way, if you're a sustaining member, a big thank you for your support. Make the day today the day that you increase your support of Wisconsin Public Radio by maybe $5 or $10 a month, the amount that you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And thanks so much for your support. How do you know if your bond is strong with your dog? We're exploring the emotional connection to dogs, especially in these difficult times. They remind us it's about the simple things, right? A glorious walk in nature, a long afternoon nap, a yummy treat. What has your dog taught you in the pandemic? 800-642-1234. We have certified applied animal behaviorist Patricia McConnell is with us for the hour. Patricia, let's talk a little more about this bond and that you say that we have this actual chemical reaction that when we feel good around our dog, it's because there's something happening inside of us.
That's absolutely right. I mean, better living through chemistry, right? It's there's some great research on that hormone I was talking about earlier, oxytocin, on the fact that when we gaze into the eyes of another human that we're fond of, our oxytocin levels rise, which leads to feelings of safety and love and warmth and connection and caring. And it turns out not only is the same true with our dogs, but it's true with dogs. So when, isn't that cool? So when
that
dogs
is.
Are looking at us and gazing into our eyes, and I need to say parenthetically, because this is really important, this is only with dogs that know us, right? That are not strangers, that we're not strangers to. But when they're looking in, when we're exchanging, you know, eye gaze, their oxytocin levels goes up too. So it's critical not to do this with a dog you don't know. I mean, a lot of dog bites come from people who, I don't know why people do this so much. They put their, I see it so often, they put their hands around the head of a dog, like around their ears, and then they bend their head down and sort of want to like kiss their face. And if the dog doesn't know them, that's an incredible threat. Imagine if you're walking down the street and a strange person who maybe looked a little scary put his hands around your head, sort of grabbed you, and then like went right to your nose, you know, with his face. I would bite him. I would bite. I would do that. so if we're friends and we're familiar, if we have a bond like like, well, I mean, this sounds really cheesy, but like I have with Wisconsin Public Radio, you know, it feels like part of my family. And so if dogs are part of your family, then yeah, you get this chemical physiological reaction that increases your social bond.
Let's bring in a call. Vicky is joining us from Mequon, and your son has a new puppy.
Yes, and Patricia, I just ordered your puppy book for them.
No, thank you.
He lives in Chicago, and they have a 16-week-old rescue dog. The mother is a Australian cattle dog, but they do not know the father. And needless to say, it is nipping and biting things, the couch and the rug, et cetera, in their heels. So I was wondering, what's your advice on when they can, well, I'm assuming they can start now to teach it to do something other than nip.
Sure, yeah. And cattle dogs are, they were bred to nip the heels of cattle. So you have this behavioral genetic predisposition that's pretty strong. So it might be take a little bit more work than some other breeds of dog. One thing to try is when the puppy nips, is to yelp and really make it really loud. That was a quiet version, so the engineer's ears aren't working. So make a really loud yelp. But here's the trick, is initially you're going to get a startle response from the dog. It might only be one or two times, so you need to be ready. So before you do that, you're going to have a toy in your pocket. And the second your puppy, and timing is everything, so it's like a sport, right? Work on your timing. Practice it with the person. So you yelp, the puppy startles for a second, and you instantly get that toy out of your pocket and offer it to the puppy. In other words, don't bite this. So try that. If it's not working, then you're going to need to, I would probably call in a trainer, and yeah, you can do a video conference who could help you. But that works a lot. It works maybe 90% of the time. So give that a try.
Animal behaviorist Patricia McConnell, our guide to our four-legged friends and new puppies as well. Have you welcomed a new dog into your home amid the pandemic? How is it going? Do you have questions about reinforcing and strengthening behavior in your dog? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead with Patricia McConnell. News update is next on the Ideas Network. The nationwide increase in pet adoptions during the pandemic is good news for orphaned animals. It's also good news for us. We're exploring our bond with dogs here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, let's fetch an update on our year-end membership campaign that is underway. I'm here with Jean Purcell. Hi there, Jean.
Hey, good morning. Fetch. That was a good one.
I know. Got to do it. Got to go there. Today is the first day of our year-end member drive on the Ideas Network. It's Giving Tuesday. It's a global celebration of generosity. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy here every day. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2020 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it looks like we're making some progress. We've got about 7 gifts left in the next 25 minutes. So if you join in, you will help us on our way to that goal. And by the way, thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you enjoy.
You know, we've been talking with Patricia McConnell about how to train that puppy. And, you know, the last segment there, we had a border collie for a while, and he's a great dog. But he had this thing about the neighbor's cows, not ours so much. But he used to like to take them back to their barn. And let me just tell you, it made for some strained relations, and a little training would have been very useful. And these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
You know, once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for, and that is a great feeling when it happens. WPR is one place we think where that is true every single day. So we're asking you to consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Of course, it's hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2, $2 a day makes a lot of the news and the talk and the music possible. Works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
Certainly my education, but hopefully it's going to be worth it and going towards a good cause.
Rent, for sure.
Every time I turn around, my automobile insurance is increasing.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Thank you. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell this morning. It's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you appreciate going strong. And whether your contribution will be $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. I am a sustaining member and I love it because I'm never late with my payments. paying bills on time is never one of my strong suits. And as a sustainer, you never have to worry about it because you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
I'm right there with you. It is really slick. You are always on time. And many people give $10, $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got about 20 minutes left in the hour and about 7 gifts left to go. 7 more people to join in and help make WPR possible, because that's what happens when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, Bob in Mequon says the morning show is absolutely unique to Wisconsin and exactly what we need. Bob, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Researchers tell us dogs are good for our health. They get us out exercising. They can boost our emotional well-being, reduce anxiety, stress. Shelters have reported a greater number of dog and cat adoptions in the pandemic. Did you adopt a dog in these months? What has changed for you? It's 800-642-1234. We have Patricia McConnell at our side, certified applied animal behaviorist. She's our guide. Patricia, have you been looking into anything about whether dogs can sniff out COVID-19 and what we know about that research?
Yes, there is research that's very impressive coming out of Europe, and that dogs were indeed able, just from sniffing people, to pretty accurately, as accurately as most of the tests, determine whether somebody had COVID or not. Now, it's not a great method for, I mean, you can't scale it, right? You know? Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous amount of training for these dogs. How many dogs can you actually do? But it's just another example of how miraculous it is, in a way, that the skills of dogs, which we don't have, this amazing ability to use their noses and send out all kinds of different substances, how we've been able to use our bond with them for our advantage. I mean, dogs are sniffing out endangered animals. Obviously, everybody knows about bomb dogs sniffing out explosives.
Yeah.
Right. So there's more and more of this going on. There's some amazing work going on. Penn Vet Center in Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania, is doing amazing work at how do you efficiently train dogs starting early on. I watched them training 12 equal puppies to get started to discriminate between scents. I mean, how cool is that, right? It's a great example of this miraculous relationship that we have with this very different other species.
How intense is that, Patricia? I mean that, you know, how intense is that work for this dog who has this particular skill and is delivering on that skill? What is that like for the dog?
Oh, I love that you asked that question. It's hard work. It turns out, you talk to people whose dogs are in search and rescue, et cetera, their dogs are exhausted. That doing the kind of sniffing, that you know, physically sniffing and then mentally discriminating, is really hard work. And that's actually something that pet owners can take advantage of. I have. When my dog Willie, for example, had a serious injury, he was recovering. I would hide a toy. I would have him on leash and I would hide a toy and then ask him to find it. And it's a great game to teach your dog. It's a wonderful way to tire your dog out where you don't want to go outside on a walk. Maybe it's 10 below, you know, maybe it's 10 above. It's rain, you know, maybe you don't want to go outside, right? Teach your dog to find an object in your home. Make it really easy at first, you know, find a toy that they really like and put it really close and say, find it. And if they go to it, then you reward them with play, and then just gradually make it harder and harder to find. It's a great, great game for us pet owners to use to exercise our dogs' minds because they don't get enough of it.
Yeah, keeping that mind active, keeping them, you know, seeking out things and keeping them busy is, I would assume, a very important piece of their well-being.
Oh, exactly. You know, dogs didn't evolve to lie around the house just about all day and then go on two walks in the same place in the neighborhood. So keeping your dog mentally engaged, most people know dogs need physical exercise, but often they don't think about how much mental exercise they need. So walking in new areas, teaching them new tricks, teaching them to use their noses, all of those things are really important and can decrease a lot of behavioral problems. There are a lot of behavioral problems that we have with our companion dogs that are basically just a function of the fact that the dog is bored and is looking for something to do. And maybe you didn't want him to get your dirty underwear out of the laundry basket when you had company.
Patricia McConnell is with us, certified applied animal behaviorist, as we talk about dogs, dog behavior, dog adoption in the pandemic. Can your dog tell what kind of mood you're in? What questions do you have about the new dog that you have in your household? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Patricia, some pet owners are having their dog's DNA analyzed to determine, you know, what breed the dog is. Is there a benefit to this?
Well, sure. I mean, why not? I don't think it's huge. I will tell you, frankly, I don't think it's huge because I think it's awfully easy to assume that because you have a Labrador, it's going to be a great retriever. Because you have a Border Collie, it's going to be high energy and herding. And that doesn't always serve our dogs well. You know, there's a wonderful dog training phrase, which is see the dog, not the story. So sometimes if you get a breed identification, it's easy to categorize your dog in a way that doesn't necessarily serve him or her. However, we humans are curious animals, you know, and it's fun. And it's fun. And also on the good side, you understand some of the behavior of your dog. I have a friend who got a dog from the South, very classic story here in the Midwest, sort of a very mixed breed, medium size, brownish, you know, what are we? And it turned out to be a coonhound that particularly bred to tree prey animals, you know, the animals that are being hunted, and then bark at them. So basically they're telling the hunter, I've got the animal in a tree and I'm going to bark at it, one, so it stays up there, and two, you know where it is. Well, this is exactly what her dog has been doing to every squirrel and see. And she was like, oh, I see. So sometimes it helps explain some behavior.
Sometimes there can be some breakthroughs. I want to talk about eye contact, because when we're trying to make keep our dog with us on our wavelength and trying not to have them get super distracted when they're out on a walk or they see something that, you know, sets off a series of emotions in that dog, how do you get their eye contact, get their attention?
Yeah, you know, that's actually job training number one, as far as I'm concerned. That's job one in dog training, is teach your dog that when you say her name, she should turn and look at you. I mean, that's how we use our name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah.
You want somebody's attention and they're not facing you, you would say John or Martha or Kate, and you would expect them to turn around. Now, sometimes that person, John or Martha or Kate, might not turn his or her head and say, just a minute, I'll be right with you, which dogs do to us, by the way, all the time. I'm sensing something interesting. But if you train your dog, when I say your name and you turn and look at me, then I'm going to give you some kind of interesting information. So that's the first thing I teach a new dog, is their name. I say it, they look at me, and I reinforce them. You can use food, you can use play. Those are the two best ways to reinforce a dog, but basically do something. The most common thing we often do is say a dog's name because we want them to do something, but we don't tell them what it is. So the dog is, we want the dog to come to us and we'll just say their name. Well, they can't read our minds, right? So it's Maggie, come, you know, Skip, that'll do. Maggie, lie down. So a great way to get your dog focused on you is to train it consciously and specifically, and work your way up through distractions. Start where there's no distractions, right? And then do it when there's stronger and stronger distractions.
Let's bring in Tarina in Eau Claire with a question. Adopted two dogs, Tarina, I understand.
Yep, we adopted two over the pandemic, both from different shelters. Our one dog is really great around other people. She's very submissive and timid oftentimes. However, the other one is a bit older, and he can be really intense around other dogs. When we take him on walks, he'll, like, lunge on a leash and try and get at them. And we've had a couple incidents where he's gotten too close to the other one on a walk or at the dog park, and he'll growl and get, you know, kind of start barking and show some aggressive tendencies. And we're just wondering how we can get him to be better around other dogs.
Oh, good for you for asking. I hate to say this, but for now, I would not go to the dog park, because you just don't have enough control over the situation. You know, you might run into a dog who doesn't do well with that kind of greeting behavior, and as things escalate, and then you're in trouble, and then your dog's going to be worse the next time. So I would not go to the dog park for now. And I would also start thinking about what do I want my dog to do? I mean, I've had my Willie was horrible with other dogs for it took me a while. This is not a fast process. So what I did with Willie, and that I suggest all clients do, is teach what you do want. So rather than correcting what you don't want, you need to teach what you do want, you know? So what do you want your dog to do? So when he sees another dog, I taught Willie to look at me. So, and I would actually use the word watch. I would say watch, or you could say look. And first of all, train that without other dogs, and then start asking your dog to do that when the other dog is two blocks away, right? You're walking him on a leash, you have control, sees another dog, before he's too aroused to pay attention to you, you say, look, and maybe you click or smooch to get his attention, and he turns his head to look at you, and you back up a few steps, and you give him some kind of reinforcement. Food can work really well. Toys and play, tug game, for example, can work really well. So gradually you work your way up so that he will do that when you're closer and closer to other dogs. Whether he can actually be loose at the dog park, I don't know.
That's a work in progress.
Work in progress. Yeah,
Patricia, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Patricia McConnell, author of more than a dozen books on animal behavior. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Let's take a look at our year-end member drive that is off and running. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It is Giving Tuesday and the first day of our year-end member drive. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and make a gift for the programs that keep you and so many others informed and inspired on the Ideas Network. And thank you for making a difference in your community with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are creeping up on the top of the hour. We've got just about 5 minutes left to go in this hour. And we're looking for about 7 more people to join in and help us make our goal. Your gift right now is so important. And that's because when you give, you're the one who is supporting the programs that you rely on every single day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Some great advice there on training that puppy. Maybe it's that pandemic puppy that you just picked up. But, you know, it's practical, it's useful information, and that is a good chunk of what you hear on the Ideas Network every single day. It's information that you can use to help make your life and the life of your dog, in this case, better. And that's part of what the Ideas Network is all about. And these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener-powered, listener-supported. And it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
That's right. During this member drive, we also have a special gift for you. When you make your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio, make sure that you ask for the Reach Out and Read thank you gifts when you give $10 a month or more.
And your donation to WPR will power essential news and quality entertainment. And your thank you gift will provide books to young children during their checkup visits. Thank you for making a difference for kids in your community. And WPR at the same time with your gift right now on this Giving Tuesday at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell this morning, and it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive, so few days left of December, of this year, calendar year, maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we are getting closer to the top of the hour, just 2 minutes away now, and just six more people need to join in to help us make that goal. Remember, these hourly goals are set up to make sure that we've got the funding that we need here at WPR for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you listened to WPR in school as a kid, in the car with your parents. Maybe you found us on your own. No matter how you first joined us, you probably want to see WPR continue. It's an important part of Wisconsin.
That's right. And if you've never given before, now is the time to do your part. It's never too late to make that first contribution of maybe $10 or even $20 a month. It's easy and it doesn't take long. All you have to do is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Ted in New Lisbon says, thank you to the morning show for getting my days off to an informed start. Thank you, Ted, and thank you so much, WPR.org.